last week we dealt with an issue that all of us will need to do and go through periodically, some more than others. And I was talking about breaking. God needs to break us. He needs to break us of our will, of our arrogance, the chains that we've set upon ourselves through our darkened desires, our ignorance of who He is. Today's message is the way of breaking. If you turn to Proverbs 23:7, Father, we just give this time to You, Holy Spirit. Enlighten us so that we may recognize Your hand in our lives. Holy Spirit, prepare us to be educated. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." And then there's a few more verses, but I want to just tackle the issue. We're talking about light. We're talking about what's going on in our heart. We're talking about the need for God to break us. Today I'm going to give you the three elements of how God breaks us in a gentle way. And if we don't want His gentle hand against us, He will break us very quickly and snap us into place. And who remembers what breaking is? We said last week what breaking is. This is interactive. I'm looking for information. Nobody remembers? Breaking is the place where the situation and circumstances are to crush us, crush our will so that we submit to God's will. Remember? We were talking about that. We know that if God does not crush us, we are left to our own devices and folly. And the scripture reveals that what we are is what we will get out of life. So you think, that's what you have. If you don't think yourself as a king and a priest, you will think yourself as what the world says you are. And you will have what the world says you have, not what God has given to us freely. And it's a vast difference into that. And those who want to go on deeper with God must experience this breaking. And this breaking first starts in Romans 12, 1 and 2. And that says what? What are those two verses? Anybody? I mean, I know them by heart. "Therefore, present yourselves as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be no longer conformed, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." And then verse 3 talks about, "To each one who believes, He has given a measure of faith." This is how it works, guys, and this is how we're going to know the reality of God in our lives and stop blaming Satan or giving him credit for working in our lives. When we became born again, when we acknowledged that Jesus saved us, God is the one who works in us to will what He wants done, not what we still think we should do. And this brings us to a problem. Because when we walk with God, we still think in our arrogance, in our ignorance, in our pride, that we think that we could continue to walk this way and be pleasing to God, when the reality of it is, it's not pleasing to God. He expects us to grow up and grow out of these juvenile behaviors, is what He calls them. Sinful behaviors, they are juvenile. They keep us in a state of childishness. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Think about that. Don't we try to negotiate with God and get Him to do what we want Him to do? Don't we? No, I mean, I tried when I first got started with walking with God and found out that all of a sudden He was deaf. God, I want you to do this for me. And, well, that's not how we're going to do this, He says. But God, you got to straighten Irene out because, you know, she's a problem in my life. No, we're not going to go there. But, God, it's the woman you gave me. Sound familiar, guys? You know, the Adam syndrome. I'm trying to blame everything on my spouse when God was really coming in and telling me that I'm the problem and I have to change. I didn't like that. And I wrestled with it. But how do we begin to start thinking? How do we transcend our thoughts and thinking into actions like God's? We get into His Word. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. How do we know truth? By being in His Word. How do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of Jesus, or the Word of truth. You see, God has given us His Word not to give us an exercise of discipline only every day to be in His Word and build ourselves up. He has given it so that we can get to know who He is, how He thinks about things, and expects us to raise up to that level. He says His thoughts are not our thoughts, His ways are not our ways. He's not going to do it our way. And yet, somehow we think we can continue on without being broken. And so we read the Word. It's a great Word. We read it. And I can tell you the truth. You know, Irene's seen me throw this thing several times. And she just laughs and says, God's going to have His way with you. So, you know, don't take it out on the Bible. But I have to. You see, I'm demonstrative. I get angry and I got to toss something. Because I don't like what God's saying to me. And so, whew, off it goes. I don't advertise that or advise you to do that because, you see, I have to buy new Bibles periodically. You know, so it's not really good to be in that practice because it's not the Word's the problem. I'm the problem. You're the problem. We read the Bible to get to know who God is. We get to know how He thinks about things. We get to see God in action through those examples, through the Scriptures of how He did things. And the more we read about it, the more we get to know Him. The more we get to realize that He is not this guy that wants to punish us. He will, because as His children, He will discipline us as children because He loves us. His purpose in this discipline is to get us to elevate our stinking thinking, our lousy habits that we do, to start walking as kings and priests of the Most High. Do you believe that? Do you truly believe that? I mean, I know the Word says that, but do you believe that? Because if you truly believe that, your life would begin to transform. You wouldn't be stuck in the same stuff that you do all the time. Scripture says, cast off that sin that so easily besets you and press on to that high calling which is in Christ Jesus. Why do we do that? Because you see, our pride and arrogance allows us to read the Word because after all, those who study, it's pastors. Pastor studies the Word. I don't have to study the Word. That's pastor's job. I go in there and I get my smorgasbord food on Sunday and the rest of the week, I'll get to it when I get to it. My life is busy, you see. And the truth of it is your life is busy because you don't want to sit down with your Father to find out what He says about you and what He wants to do with you. We've all heard the phrase, food for thought, right? But that's what this Word is. It's food for thought, how you think about things, how you speak about things. And I'm not saying we're going to become abject perfection in this lifetime. God knows, I've been walking with Him for 25 years, and the more I see Him change me, the more I see how wicked I am, and I'm amazed that He loves me in spite of that. You see, when we read the Word, all we're doing is getting milk. And I don't know any infant child that will stay on a diet of milk. I mean, eventually, that child's going to grow up, it has teeth, it's going to want to gnaw on something. It's going to want to gnaw on a candy bar or Cheerios or whatever it is that we could put in front of them. But the diet does not stay the same. If that is true in the physical realm, which is a spiritual example for us to the true realities, why do we treat the Word of God like it's still milk? We just read it. We're not trying to ascend our minds to where God is. We're not trying to renew our minds. All we're trying to do is quote Bible verses without changing. All we're doing is deceiving ourselves that we're believers, when I categorize people like that as make believers. Because a true believer wants to grow in the admonition of God. True want to be like God. They want to walk with God. And Jesus said, you know, greater works that you will do. Well, you know what? I'm interested in the church doing greater works, but until you get out of being a child, you're not going to do greater works. And the only way that you do greater works is you grow up. At 10 years old, I wanted a job. At 12, I got a job. But between 10 and 12, I wanted to do something, and I prepared myself to do something. And when that opportunity came, I did it. I had a job, and I began to earn my own money, and I became self-sufficient to a veritable degree. I was starting to earn money. That's growing up. God wants you to grow up. He wants you to get into the Word. He wants you to take your pride and all your arrogance and all your intelligence and throw it to the ground, because He wants you humble. A teachable spirit is a humble spirit. Well, Pastor, you know, I can't be like you. I'm not asking you to be like me. I'm asking you to be like Him. He died for you. I didn't. I got the same problems as you got. I'm just a little bit smarter than you. I study the Word to show myself approved, rightly dividing the Word of truth. I need to know how God thinks about things. I need to know what He's thinking about. I need to know what His plan is. But He's not going to reveal it to me if I'm not spending time with Him. And if I'm not spending time with Him, for me to tell you, to prophesy where we're going, is ridiculous, because you have no understanding. I don't know why Pastor has me doing this. Well, yeah, Mr. Miyagi. Wax on and wax off, you know. I do it to test you, to test your heart. God said that He had Israel walk in the desert to test their hearts. I want to see if you have a teachable spirit. I want to see if you would just walk in those things that God would tell you to do. As simple as it is, it's hard for you because you don't want to do it. And that's what a child is. A child is selfish and self-centered. And just to read the Word is not enough for us. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 8 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For our weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion that raises itself against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete." What's Paul saying here? He's saying, you can't tell somebody else what to do until you are in order. And that was the problem. I was telling my wife what to do, expecting to be this couch potato and king, when really God was saying, there's three things that you're going to do. You're not going to tell your wife you love her. You're going to pick up after yourself. And you're going to start dating her. I'm like, you've got to be crazy. I've married her. I don't have to date her. I didn't understand why he wanted. He wanted to save my marriage is what he wanted. He wanted me to get on the program. And here I'm a big man on campus. I don't have to do that. God was revealing my heart how desperately wicked it is. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. And it is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts." You see, when we read the word of God, and every time I threw it down, I was convicted. And when I was convicted, I became accountable to the Lord that I have to change. And that's when I threw the Bible. Who are you to tell me? You're God. I'm not. I'll get off my soapbox and start doing things the way you want. He has to break the way we think about how we live, how we do stuff. He has to break it. We cannot continue on this preposterous journey with Him thinking that, you know what, I can act anyway, I can speak anyway, I could do anything I want to do and expect that to be pleasing to God. That was all right for our infants. And He changed our diapers at the time. But when we started to walk and we started to grow up, then we took on a different dynamic. Paul says, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I did things as a child, but when I became a man, when I started to grow up, I put those things away. What is it that God's telling you to do that you're not willing to do for Him? Because you see, what His commands are not grievous. What's grievous is we don't want to do it. And we're only into the Word. This is only the first part of breaking us. He's breaking us down so that He can elevate the way we think. When we start thinking the way He thinks and the way we understand how He thinks, it's not grievous anymore. It's like, oh man, I should have had a spiritual V8. God, why didn't you just tell me? Well, He's not obligated to tell us anything. If He tells us everything, then it's not faith. You have to understand, this is preparation for the kingdom. And the sooner we grow up, we can bring the kingdom from heaven here. We can behave like He does. We can have the power to do what He does. Now, we don't have to wait. But I'm afraid that God's going to ask me to go talk to that person over there. Get over it. It's not about you. It's about Him. Just do it. Oh, but you know what? What if God asked me to lay hands on somebody and he heals them? Praise God! You see, that's how I was. I was just so naive that when I heard God say something, I just did it. And you know what? God did it! And I got excited, but I became fearful too at the same time. It's like, oh my Lord, You're using me to do something. And you've heard some of the stories of how God has used me to heal people, how to deliver people, how to cause them to wake up. And He wants to do that with you. That's the plan that God has. If you look at Ephesians 3, you will see that God wants to reveal His wisdom through the church, not just through me, to the church. For whose benefit? Yours? Mine? No. To show the powers of darkness that He has a people, that the kingdom is here, and now the kingdom is going to destroy the powers of darkness and set people free. And you're part of that, if you believe. God must elevate our thinking. We must learn to reject our old ways of thinking, our old habits, and continue to live in submission to God's will. But if you don't know what he's saying to you, you don't know what his will is, he will allow you to be crushed under the weight of your stupidity and arrogance in those situations where you think you got a handle on it. He will allow you to be crushed. And believe me, that's not his best. That is the extreme end of it. He's looking for our obedience. He's not looking for our sacrifice. And every area that is displeasing to him, he is going to put his finger on, and he's going to ask you to give it up, to live in holiness and righteousness as he is. Be holy as I am holy, says the Lord. Am I there yet? No, I'm not there yet. But I'll tell you what. I'm in his word. I'm trying to listen to him. I'm trying to comprehend what he's saying. And it is scary. It is so scary that I think in those realms now. I think like God. I think and see what God's doing. Oh, Pastor, you're a gift ministry to him. I spend time with him. He wants to tell you the same secrets he wants to tell me. So that when I confirm it, you're going to go, man, I'm glad I'm hanging out with God. I'm glad I'm hanging out with people that just believe God. To watch him do things. Next is the ministry of the Word. What do I mean by that? What is ministry of the Word? He first breaks down our thinking, but then there is this activity of Romans 12:2 that has to take place. And this ministry is, once I read the Word and I accept it by faith, I must act upon it. James says faith without works is dead. If all I do is read His Word and continue to live my life, I have no faith. The faith that He has given to me, according to Romans 12:3, is inactive. It's idle. It's not growing. You can't do big things with no faith. You can't believe what I'm believing if you are not exercising your faith. And in exercising that faith, there is a correlating action or ministry of the Word. Serving that Word into my life, that from the revelation that comes from my spirit that enlightens my mind, I make my flesh do what it wants. No, I make my flesh do what God wills it to do. And the problem is, in this area, for all of us, we still think we have the right to live our lives the way we want. And you do. And you will answer to God for it. Not to me. God's about destroying our fleshly habits to give us righteous habits, healthy habits, to see our lives turn around, to give us a hope and a future. That's what God's all about. He wants to give your life so much prosperity that people will talk about you. I mean, they're going to talk about you anyhow. They are. But you see, the prosperity that God's talking about has nothing to do with health, wealth, and prosperity, but yet it does. That may sound like an oxymoron, but the fact of it is, you have to know what God's mind is and what His thoughts are in order to understand what He's talking about. And what we have is a bunch of ministers that are telling people, if you just sow $1,000 into this ministry, God will bless you. Is that not true? I feel that there's a $10,000 offering out there to my television folk out there. If you just send that $10,000, it may be your last $10,000, but you're sowing seed, brothers and sisters, into this ministry. Did God tell you to do it? Unless God tells you to do it, you need to turn the channel. I was at a conference, a men's conference, years ago, and we had an overseeing apostle over there, and he was beating the sheep. He got this trash basket out. He says, God's saying we don't have enough of an offering. We need to fill this trash can up. So come down here, brothers and sisters, with your checks, and write these pledges out. I said, God ain't speaking to me. That's not even biblical, to go and beat the sheep of God. The example I have is Moses asked the people to give, and they gave so much that he had to ask them to stop giving. He didn't beat them. He didn't coddle them. He just asked. God just asks. He just asks us to be obedient to His Word. Serving the Word simply means learning to walk in the Spirit. That's all. It's just learning to be obedient to what God says. Walk in the Spirit. And you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And this is where the battle goes, guys. This is the battle zone. We want what we want. We want the sin issues. We want the dark issues. We want all that stuff. But we want God too. But we want God on our terms. And God says, without surrender, you are defeated. See, surrender leads to life. My selfish ambitions, my modes of wanting things will lead me to be defeated. And we will be defeated. We defeat ourselves. Being clever and charismatic in our minds will only take us so far. Our speech and habits will only bring salvation to us for a little bit. But the bottom line is, if we do not yield ourselves to what God says and begin to walk this thing out, there is no reality for our lives. Those of us that are involved in Truth Project understand, and we put the saying in there, and the things that you really believe, that you really believe in, is it really real to you? Is this really real? Is God really real to you? Or is He just somebody that's in the book? Open up and let God out. You see, God's opening up our hearts to let Him out. You don't understand the process. You don't understand what He's trying to accomplish. And so, my people perish for lack of understanding. My people perish for lack of wisdom, lack of knowledge. I'm trying to give you an understanding as to how He's breaking us and the importance of serving this Word into our lives so that we can change the way we think about things to get rid of our old patterns of life, our old behaviors, our old ways that we speak to one to another. And it's difficult. Believe me, it is difficult. But the rewards are so much better than where we are when we first get saved. And it takes time. But after we begin to start walking this thing out, when walking in the Spirit, when we're having the mind of Christ, because the Bible says you have the mind of Christ. We all have the mind of Christ. It's what you do with it that counts. You can think about godly things and still live in your carnality. And God wants us to put that away. Get rid of it. Walk in a power. You've heard me use stories of Smith and Wigglesworth, John Lake, and others, that they would walk by and the power of God was on them so much that people were just crying out, what do I got to do to get saved? He lay hands on people and they get healed. People who were crippled were throwing their crutches away and stuff. This is what God wants, but He doesn't want it just for individuals any longer. He wants it for the church to come out. That this is possible. For the church to arise and shine. Not just individuals. Because He is building a glorious church. And the third step is preaching the gospel. You don't have to preach vocally. You know that? Your life is preaching to the masses. People don't want to know how much you know until they see how much you care. And I have that little sign in there. I care. Since it's little, I only care a little bit. That's not true. I care a lot. To walk and live after the Spirit, God bestows upon us power and authority that He can trust us with. You see, your name's not at stake, although you think it is. His name's at stake. But, you know, Pastor, you know, if God tells me to do this, what am I supposed to do? Do it. I mean, most of us who know of David Youngie Cho, He has the world's largest church. Over 800,000 people are in his church now. And they have a place, they call it Prayer Mountain, that they go to. And one guy asked him, how did you become successful in everything? And he just said, I pray and obey. It's really that simple. You hear God, you do it. God's not going to ask you something that he himself does not want to do through you, because he's already done it for you. You don't have to tell people how to live. You need to live it. Hear me. You don't need to tell people that they need to go to church when you find every excuse not to be there. You don't need to tell people to be in the Bible when you're not in the Word. See how this is working? How do you know what God wants to for you to do? Or how do you know what God wants to change in your life if you're not spending time with Him? Or you pick and choose your level of obedience. You see, God is about breaking your will to set your spirit free. Our will is polluted. It is no good. It is selfish and self-centered. Only time did I find that I had the greatest success and the greatest times is when I walk in the Spirit. And I try to do that all the time. I hear God. I do what He says to do. And when He provides me with an opportunity, I try to reach out. You see, in our obedience, it's not how much we know or how much we can preach to people. The idea here is that when I reach out and lay hands on someone, the power that's in my spirit has to touch that person's spirit. It's not their flesh that I'm after. It's not their intellect that I could care less about. I don't care how much you know about God. Show me how much you care about God and know God by the way you live. I had a friend of mine, and I told you this story. He was telling these off-color jokes, and I'm walking up and I say, "Yo, Kev, what's going on?" "Oh, Gary, you don't want to hear this." God has the heathen protecting me. Or he'll say something like, "You know what? I really like you. You're not perfect, but you're consistent." I take that as a great badge of honor. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of those people who already talk about you and hate you for who you are, talking about you and hating on you? Or are you going to live your life for Christ? Are you going to line up? It seems like God is doing something about marriages, because we're now being asked to help people outside our fellowship with marriages. And I had a word brought to me about a month ago about marriages. And so I'm praying about it. And now all of a sudden, they're here. I could say no, go to your church. But I'm looking at it as an opportunity that God is doing something here for us. And so I just want to be obedient. And Irene and I prayed and I asked her, and she says, "Yeah, I think this is God. And we're doing this." What's God asking you to do? Just get involved in a little bit of ministry here? Asking you to study the Word a little bit, get to know your foundations, get to know Him. You see, the object here is, through these disciplines, is learning how to not only walk in the Spirit, but release your spirit in power and in authority. That's what Jesus did. You look and see what happened. When the woman touched his hem of his garment, he felt what? Virtue or power come out of his spirit. And he said, "Who touched me?" When you walk down the street, wouldn't you like to have that opportunity? "Who touched me?" "I don't know. I don't know, Mia, who touched you, but there's a ton of people around here. But somebody touched me. Somebody got healed." We need to learn to release our spirits to God. And this is what Jesus did successfully. He entrusted himself to God. He took the restraints off. He took all the conditions off. And he said, yes, Lord. And that's what the church needs to do. It's what you need to do. Yes, Lord. Let us confess our shame of unbelief. Let us confess how weak and needy we are. Let us allow Him to have His way to break us so that we can be useful in His hands. Let us see how good He is. Let us not provoke Him to break us all at one shot, but allow Him to break us gently. Like a cowboy breaks a horse. He breaks that horse gently. Not to take its spirit, but its will, so that it can be useful in the hands of the rider. That's what God is about. He wants to use us to break our stubbornness and arrogance so that He can use us. And if you're that people, then stand up and I'll pray for you. If you're not sure you want that, that's okay. There's a time for that. But I know, for me, I'm like Joshua. It's for me and my house, we're going to serve God. I have a reward that's entrusted in Jesus Christ that I want. And I'm not going to let any demon here or any sinful behavior to keep me from attaining that which Christ has bought me for. And that should be your mindset too. That you have a great reward in heaven. Not just salvation. Salvation is what gets us in the door. But now it's time to grow up and be that people that He's called us to be. Amen? Father, we just come before You, Lord God. And we are ashamed, God. We are ashamed of how we are so stubborn and stiff-necked that You called the people of Israel a long time ago, God. Lord, we just ask that You forgive us, God. Have mercy on us, O God. I pray that we have a greater understanding as to how gentle You are in breaking us, God. That You don't want to harm us, God. You just want what's best for us. God, wherever we are, whether it's in the sincerity of the milk, help us to begin to walk this thing out in the Spirit. If it's just our obedience, God, then do what You need to do to get our will to conform to Yours, God. That we would exercise the faith that You've given to us. You've given us all a measure of faith. Help us to see what You're doing, God. To comprehend and be a part of what You're doing, God. Your Son is coming, and He's closer today than He was yesterday. God, I ask for streams, God. I ask for the leaders. I ask for myself, God, that You just continue to penetrate those areas that are not pleasing to You, God. Help us to exercise our faith, God, and eradicate all the old ways. Kill the old man and nail it to the cross that we may experience and live the life of the Spirit, God. Help us to cast off the sins that so easily beset us. Help us to cast off all the contrived conditions, God. And let us just fully dive into the water of the Spirit and trust our lives will be kept in You, God. Let us not be ashamed of the gospel any longer, God. For in it is the power of salvation. In it is the fullness of the redemptive power, God, of Your Spirit. In it, God, is the cross where we nail the old man to it and live a life of freedom and success in Jesus Christ. God, I pray that You bless Your people this week, that they would see how gentle You are in trying to break us, God, so that we can be useful to You. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.